Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raganatam, Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sarvaitam Savadutam, Prajana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Dvitamscha, He Krishna Karna Sindo Dhinabandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri, Prashubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali. Text 26 is on the board, is that? Yes. You put on 26, though. You have both of them on the board, or just one? 26. Okay. Iyam cha bhumi bhagavata nyasitoru. Actually, it's Nyasita Uru Tat Pada Nyasai Sarvataha Krita Kautuka Yamcha Bhumir Bhagavata. Diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well. When he was present as an incarnation, all good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. Please repeat the burden. Text 27. So chatyashu kala sadvi durabhage vyojita sati abrahmanya nripa vyaja shudra bhokshayanti mami shudra bhokshanti mamiti. Translation. Now she, the chaste one, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes. For now she is being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. Purport. The Kshatriya, or the man who is qualified to protect the sufferers, is meant to rule the state. Untrained lower class men or men without ambition to protect the sufferers cannot be placed on the seat of an administrator. Unfortunately, in the age of Kali, the lower class men without training occupy the post of a ruler by strength of popular votes. And instead of protecting the sufferers, such men create a situation quite intolerable for everyone. Such rulers illegally gratify themselves at the cost of all comforts of the citizens, and thus the chaste Mother Earth cries to see the pitiable condition of her sons, both men and animals. That is the future of the world in the age of Kali, when irreligiosity prevails most prominently. And in the absence of a suitable king to curb irreligious tendencies, educating the people systematically and the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam will clear up the hazy atmosphere of corruption, bribery, blackmail, etc. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Puristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Shrinivadi Paskatya De Sadarane. Hear the word Kshatriya, as we probably have heard before. Sha means to protect and Triya means to deliver. Or Sha means from harm and Triya means to deliver one from harm. So that's the job of the Kshatriya. And as I mentioned yesterday, evam para para praptam, imam ridarshi ovidu, sakaleinaiha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. The Kshatriya is principally supposed to protect one from the onslaught of material consciousness. Because activities begin within the intelligence and the mind, and they're manifested through the external senses. If we're going to change people's activities or habits, then we have to change their understanding first of all. So the Kshatriyas, they're supposed to principally make arrangements so that people are peaceful and they're secure, prosperous actually. Peaceful and prosperous. This is what Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita. So peaceful means one is not afflicted by material desires. People think in the present age that by fulfilling my desires, I can become peaceful. But as we can see that in this nation where people have ample opportunity to fulfill their desires, they're not peaceful. They're not satisfied, nor are they peaceful. That peace comes about when we control our mind, not when we serve our mind. But that takes some intelligence. Of course, prosperity also has to be there. Prosperity in the sense that everyone has what is actually necessary. There's a difference between being forced to gratify the senses and gratifying the senses as much as necessary. As Krishna says, nat-yashnat-yogosti na-chai-kantamanashnata na-chaiti-swapnashilasya jagato-naiva-charjana, that a yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. One who is temperate in the habits of eating, sleeping, working, recreation, can mitigate all the pains, material pains, by practice of the yoga system. So the body needs a certain amount of gratification in order to function properly. But that should be determined by intelligence, not by whim, not by the dictation of the senses. Because the nature of serving the senses without intelligence, as Krishna says, two things, as we've heard, avaratmika shakti and prakakshmika shakti. So prakakshmika shakti means, or avaranika shakti means, it covers the consciousness of the living entity. Dumena riyate vanir, yatar darsho malena cha, yatobin avrita garvas, tata ten edam avritam. That the just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by the dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so similarly the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. Avritam gena etena ganeno nitivarina kama rupena kuntiya dusprena analena cha. Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal form of as the eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So not only lust covers our perspective on things, and according to our covering of lust, according to the modes of nature we're situated in, we have a certain conception of life. Along with the coverings of the modes of nature, we have a certain perspective on things. It is not that independently we have a conception or a faith. That faith is determined by our consciousness And our consciousness is determined, the amount of consciousness we have is determined by the amount of covering we have over that consciousness, or the covering within the mind which covers our consciousness. So people believe something, they have actually faith in something, not independently, but according to their conditioning. The original consciousness is Krishna consciousness. But as much as we're covered, then we have a consciousness either in the mode of goodness, or the mode of passion, or the mode of ignorance, or usually a combination of those. Therefore, the job of the Kshatriya is to make sure that the lives of the living entities are regulated in such a way is that they don't become harassed by unnecessary material desire. There's a culture all based upon diminishing material desire. Just like in modern society, there's a culture based on increasing material desire. Basically speaking, there are four purusharthas, or five, but generally the four goals in life, namely dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So dharma is based on the principle of ultimately liberation, that we should regulate the activities of economic development for our gratification of the senses, so ultimately we can achieve liberation. So in the pravritti marg of dharma, there's a minimization as much as possible of economic development for sense gratification in order to achieve liberation. And the pravritti marg, there is an encouragement for certain activities of dharma which will produce more economic development and sense gratification. And liberation is not really considered immediately, but after some time one will realize that dharmic principles ultimately aim at liberation. Apavargasya, apavargasya, dharmasya hi apavargasya, that ultimately religious principles are aimed at apavargasya, getting free from pravarga, namely material entanglement, pa, pa, ba, ba, and ma. Pa means working hard, and then there's pena, namely foam with the mouth, ba, fear, fearful, actually, what is ba? Foam with the mouth, and then there's fearfulness, and ultimately ma, mrityu, death. So apavargasya is that dharma is ultimately meant to eliminating pavarga, working hard to get money for sense gratification, then foam with the mouth, then exhaustion, then fearfulness, and finally death. So pavargasya, apavargasya, means to negate these pavarga. So dharmasya hi pavargasya, narto yasya pakalpate. It's not meant for economic development, for sense gratification. Dharmasya hi apavargasya, narto yo yopakalpate, dharmasya hi apakantasya, kamalabhaya hi smritaha. And for those who are actually engaged in the ultimate beneficiary activity for liberation, there may be some gain, but it shouldn't be used for sense gratification. In other words, the Kshatriyas are supposed to regulate people's activities so that somehow or another they could make some progress in life. And that all depended. Progress depended upon diminishing the fire of material desire so we can see things properly and we can be directed by proper authorities. Unfortunately, because people have given up dharma, therefore there's no conception of liberation, the only activities predominant are economic development for sense gratification, economic development at any cost, whether you pollute the air, contaminate the water, destroy the food, pollute the atmosphere, pollute people's minds. That's secondary. People don't care about those things. They only care if they get some paper money. And finally, when there's no food, they can eat the money. Maybe we'll have edible money soon. When the money can't buy any food, you eat it. In Spanish, they have this word called serrucha el piso, which means you cut the floor underneath yourself. Someone's cutting, you're some political person, and someone is trying to get rid of you, so they're cutting the floor. They're in the floor below you in the basement. They're cutting the floor underneath you, so eventually you fall through. Serrucho is a saw, el piso, the floor. So that's what the modern society is doing. It's more or less cutting the floor underneath itself in the name of so-called advancement. But the Kshatriyas are supposed to prevent that. They're supposed to make sure that people follow the scripture. Now, not everyone is in the same mode of nature, so what is relevant to one person according to the scripture, it may be different from another person. Food for one person may be poison for another person. Those in the mode of ignorance, they're supposed to regulate their activities so gradually they can come to passion. And those in passion are supposed to regulate their activities so gradually they come to goodness. And those of goodness are supposed to make further progress towards self-realization and eventually God-realization. But nowadays, everyone is given the same shoe to put in, the same shoe, although it may fit or not fit. They're trying to make a common denominator that people will be in the lowest mode of nature, that everyone should eat the same breakfast cereal, everyone should drive to work for the car, everyone should have such and such computer that runs in such speed, everyone should watch the same movies. In other words, they're trying to make everyone equally foolish. And they allow a little variety. You can brush your toothpaste with brand X or brand Y or Z, and that's your free choice. Although, brand X and brand Y and brand Z, they all have more or less the same chemicals, they all have the same effect. But people are led to believe that they have a choice in what they're doing. Although, it's the television that tells everyone what to do. It's not that they're free. They're just taking direction from the television, from their education school, from the videos they watch, or the movies they go to, the newspapers they read, are just telling them what to do, how to believe, and what to do. And generally they advertise, you should work harder, and if you can't work hard, at least get a credit card. And then you should spend your money, buy such and such brand, and you'll get the same experience as everyone else has, eternal bliss and knowledge. And people think, well, they're my authority, I have to do it. They're leading me to the holy atmosphere. So they try, and it doesn't work. They say, well, you're just missing one other component. You almost got it right, you just have to add this on, and then it'll be perfect, almost perfect. So people are just like the donkey with a carrot stuck in front of it by a pole, and the donkey takes one step forward, and the carrot goes one step forward, takes one step more forward, and the carrot goes one step forward. And this way, the donkey pulls the weight, thinking that one more step, I'll get the carrot. So everyone's thinking, when the new program comes out, then my life will become perfect. That everything's progressively improving technologically, chemically, electronically, etc. And just one little more improvement and my happiness factor will go up and up and up. But every so-called advancement brings about so many problems, and people are working to try to solve this problem, that problem, so many problems, so much anxiety, and therefore the happiness factor actually goes down. People are not peaceful, harassed by so many problems, and they're not prosperous because people don't even know what prosperity is. They're so fooled, they're so misdirected, They think prosperity means a faster computer. For what? People's brains are getting slower as their computer gets faster. They think faster cars would burn more gasoline. That's progress. But then they have to fight so many wars in order to protect the gasoline or the oil. And they have to have so much more complicated electricity for all the new gadgets, and that it creates so much disturbance of the atmosphere. No one knows what the result will be. This wireless electronics beaming frequencies through everyone 24 hours a day, your brain's being fried by all this wireless technology. That's how they discovered microwave. The sailors, because microwave was used for electronic communication between ships. So sometimes it was a problem, sailors would climb up the mast in order to get the fix the microwave, and somehow or another, if it was turned on accidentally, then the sailor would get cooked. His internal organs would get cooked, microwaved. So of course you die. You have a fried liver and fried lungs. And they discovered it would be good for cooking. If it can cook the sailors, it could cook probably, you know, other things too. So now they've advanced that technology, so it's beamed everywhere. So everyone's getting fried. But it's progress. So the atmosphere, there's more, less quality of the food. Now it's genetically being engineered so that you don't know if you're eating vegetables or now. The genes are made out of from pig genes, from squirrel genes, from rat genes, and they're put into the cauliflower. So you don't really know if you're eating cauliflower or eating a rat. Dead rat, looks like a cauliflower. So the quality of the food, the atmosphere is all polluted. You can't breathe the air. You can't drink the water from the tap. You have to get a filter, and you don't know if that works because it's so complicated. So many different types of contaminants in the water. You can't breathe the air. And in Tokyo, they sell oxygen on the street. So now you have to buy bottled water, and soon we'll have to buy bottled oxygen. So is that progress? Where people can't eat properly, they can't sleep because there's so much anxiety. They don't know how to sleep. They try to go to sleep and they can't, so they take a sleeping pill. Then they can't wake up in the morning, so they have to take another pill. And they cause so many complications, so they have to take another pill. And as far as mating goes, people can't even have a relationship that lasts for more than a year or so. So now the children don't even know sometimes who their parents are exactly or where they are. They have the relationships as such, people don't know their neighbors, the relationships is always strained, and it's defending, everyone's in anxiety. Even they have $1 billion, $100 billion, they're anxiety all the time. There's no security. They don't know if it's enough. So, where is the progress, even in terms of material things? There's no prosperity at all. There's no food, there's no shelter, everyone feels unprotected. You walk down the street, someone takes a gun, holds you up, and then you call the police come a few hours later and write a report. And it's so they know how many people got held up. They don't do anything, they never capture the criminal, but they write a report, they're doing their job. Therefore, there's no prosperity, there's no peace. People are being harassed in so many ways. By the government is harassing them. Their family is harassing them. Their body is harassing them. There's no prosperity. So where are the Kshatriyas? How are they allowing superior knowledge to be broadcasted? Knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the super soul, knowledge of karma. Where is that being permitted or encouraged to be broadcasting? Instead, the so-called leaders, the administrators of society, they forbid anyone to talk about the soul. It's considered a religious, fanatical philosophy to talk about the soul. But instead, they have their own religion called materialism. They're born-again materialists, and therefore they're sure to be born again and again and again. It's not that they don't have a religion. Their religion is to gratify the senses. That's their religion, and that's their philosophy. You are your body. There's no soul. It's not even worthwhile being spoken about. There is no God. We've already eliminated him from our world, and therefore he has no power here. He has no power in the classroom. He has no power in the newspapers. He only has power in the church for a few old ladies who have nothing else to do. That's the only place he has any potency. So people are misled to believe this in the present society, and the principal governing lead or the leaders of society, they're encouraging it. They're not only encouraging it, but practically speaking, they're mandating it, that evolution has to be taught in the schools, God has no place in the school, the soul has no place in the school, only the material body and the mind and the material intelligence, they have a place in education. Spiritual things are out of the question. They're illegal. They're punishable. Therefore, they're not Kshatriyas. They're actually, as it was mentioned here, they're Shudras, less than Shudras, in the dress of leaders. They themselves don't know what the goal of life is or how to achieve it, but somehow or another they're put into the position of leaders because people in general have, because of democracy, which probably called demon crazy. Less intelligent people elect a less intelligent leader, and therefore the result is no one knows what to do and how to do it, and the society finds itself in progressively more and more problems. They want to kill the animals and eat them, therefore they have to rely upon oil for their machines, and when there's only a certain amount of oil, therefore they have to fight over the oil, which means that most of the budget goes into the military, and so many people get killed or wounded. They have to have so much expense for that. They have to then, even if they get the oil, they have to refine it and deliver it, ship it. So many problems, just so they can run their machines and plow the land and get some food. Previously, some cow, a bull, or a horse would do it, and there was much less problem. But the Ford Motor Company made an announcement at the beginning of the 20th century, beginning of the 1900s, that the horses are walking on the road, they're passing so much stool, it's polluting the atmosphere, so buy a car and you'll end the air pollution. So people thought, yes, we want to protect the environment, so let's buy cars, get rid of these nasty horses and all their fumes that are emanating from them. So they did it. They succeeded in eliminating the horses, and now we have the environment-friendly cars. And all the environment-friendly machines and factories, which made life easier for everyone. After all these modern cars and machines that we have, they're practically free. They don't cost any money. You don't even have to work for them. They practically fall out of the sky for you. No, much the difference, just to buy a house nowadays, people used to build a simple house, And they have their forest. They cut down a few trees, and they have everything in a few months, all their necessities. But now, people have to work the whole year, 50 weeks a year, 2 weeks vacation, working. And they can't even pay their debts. They're always in debt, trillions of dollars in debt. In spite of working so hard, there's no end to what they have to buy for their so-called necessities and diversions, etc. So where's the progress? It's just all an illusion. And the only people who in any way profiting at all by all this is just a few people, and they're manipulating the government. They decide Mr. Candidate A, who has exactly practically the same agenda as B, those are the two candidates you have to vote for. You can vote for A or B, although it doesn't make any difference, but you have your choice. Either way, neither one of them is going to protect you or in the environment or anything else. They're just going to take whatever taxes they are and divide it up amongst themselves. But that's freedom. So here, Maharishi Parikshit, we'll find out he was not such a leader. He knew what the laws of nature are. He knew how to apply them in a practical way. He took guidance from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And therefore, he would not allow the symbol of religion, the bull and the cow, to be beaten by the so-called administrators, to be exploited. Therefore, the basic principle, which is sending the society to hell, is animal slaughter. Because by animal slaughter, that sinful activity, which is simply based upon the fact people don't want to plow the earth, they just want to exploit the animals. And that's the most sinful activity, which is more or less driving the modern society to a undesirable destination. The other things, such as gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, they're also significant in terms of sinful activities, but as soon as one kills an animal to eat it, to exploit in that way, tortures an animal to eat it, that's the most abominable activity. And it has great sinful consequences. Lord Chaitanya said that for every hair on the cow that you slaughter, you have to spend 1,000 years in hell. So nowadays they've invented a new cow, they've bred a new cow with more hairs on it. So they were going to be in hell for such a long time, but they're not satisfied with it. They want to be there as long as possible. Maybe they'll have a transfer ticket to the next day of Brahma. Their karma will be so bad, they'll have to take a transfer so they can be in hell as soon as the next day of Brahma starts, or the next life of Brahma. The conclusion is that the persons who are leaders, they have to have some vision. They have to see things correctly. And they have to have an arm, the kshatriyas, to apply it. And the first thing that has to be done is that the animals have to be protected. Otherwise, the people engage in cow slaughter, especially cow slaughter, they'll lose all their intelligence. And by losing their intelligence, they won't be able to see the dangers of illicit sex and gambling and intoxication either. They'll lose all their good sense. Because to eat meat, you have to take intoxication. Therefore, when you're intoxicated, lust and everything, everyone looks attractive when you're intoxicated. Therefore, illicit sex. And in order to support all these habits, you want to get something cheap. Therefore, first of all, mental speculation increases, because according to our sinful activities, that's how we see things. and then you want to get, you gamble. You take so many gambles to get the money that's necessary to support these sinful activities. But if animal slaughter is decreased, and the animals, if they're used for plowing the field, then people will become a little sober. They won't have to, then the children become useful. Now the children are just like a hobby. It takes so many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to raise a child, and they're useless. They just spend time at home playing on the computer game. That's all they can do. Watch television, play computer games. And when they get a little bit more older, then they can take drugs. Major in chemistry. So they're useless for anything productive, more or less, nowadays. And when they grow up, they take computer science and make games for other children. But when there's actually farming, then the children become useful. They can help with raise the animals, etc., milk the cow. They become useful. And therefore, no one minds having the children. They're not a material deficit. They're not a liability. They become an asset. And then won't be any need for gambling, because people will get everything they actually need. So this is our business. Our main business is not only to distribute these books, but also Prabhupada wanted us to establish, ultimately, farm communities where cows would actually be protected. Not that, you know, protect, what is that called? Save a cow or something? What do they call that? Adopt a cow. Adopt a poor cow. You got to adopt it. It has no mother. No, not that we have farm communities where, everyone's paying for it's not self-sufficient. Everyone's just paying for it. It's just like a hobby. We have a hobby of protecting cows. So we can show people, here's our cow, here's our philosophy. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't plow the land. It doesn't give any milk, but we protect it. Because we don't know why. But it's a good, nice hobby. No, we should actually have farm communities where the cows are actually productive. They're actually producing food. Then people will value them. Then we'll know why we're supposed to have farm communities. And it should ultimately work to people's advantage. People will get stronger as they'll be able to breathe fresh air, drink clean water, eat nice fresh food. They should get healthier. Then they'll have the strength to work. Not that work is bad. Nowadays people think, oh, work, how horrible. They have to work. Better we sit at a computer and just watch our muscles and our brain just shrivel up. Well, we don't have to do that nasty thing called work. That barbaric thing when people used to use their muscles and brain. They used to actually breathe with their lungs. How primitive. But then people will actually enjoy being able to be out in the fresh air and the sunlight and work, use their muscles, become strong and healthy and be able to digest their food without 15 different chemicals to help them. So that sounds quite barbaric, actually being able to digest your own food without the help of science. In the chemical industry, pharmaceuticals. But people actually, in the ancient times, they used to be able to do it. And they were actually peaceful. They didn't have to worry about check the newspapers 10 times a day to find out what the price of stocks were, to find out what happened in Iraq, whether they can eat tomorrow or not. What the price of oil is. No, they were actually peaceful because they knew we have our grains, we have our water, we have our necessities of life, and they're being provided. And we don't have to depend upon some banker in some city 3,000 miles away, whether we live or die. If he gets up on the wrong side of the bed, we die. So people are much more peaceful. They actually had prosperity, and now all they have is video games to play with. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. What's that?
Why they add, I don't know.
Well, because everything is denatured. I think because the very nature of the refining process, which they're always doing, they're homogenizing, pasteurizing, they're feeding the cows, putting so many antibiotics into the cows, so many different things. The fertilizers, the grass that the cows eat are toxic due to all the fertilizers. There's so many. So they decided that they have to add something. It's like they refine the flour and then they add nutrients to it. Why they refined it in the first place, you know? Just like if they don't refine it, then you got to pay more for it. Yes. Oh, well, we think our faith is due to our good-hearted perception of things, or even our association. But just like if you add tint, if you have glasses on, you put a color tint on the glasses. When you see through the glasses, everything appears to be yellow or red or whatever the color of the glasses are. So that's your actual perception. Then you believe that everything is yellow because that's how you see things. You may talk about how everything is green, but the way you really see things, your real faith, is that it's yellow because that's how you see. So according to the modes of nature we're situated under, that's how we perceive things. We may talk one way, but our actual perception is according to the modes. Then, of course, if we associate with people in a different mode than we're in, then they may encourage us to either elevate ourselves or degrade ourselves because they see things differently. And because they see things differently, they'll do things differently. If you associate with people who are vegetarians and actually become a vegetarian. Although you may like to eat meat, but they tell you about the difficulty of eating meat, all the problems. And then although you have the tendency to eat meat because that's your perception, but then you develop you tolerate your tendency and you take their perception of life and you try to apply it within yours, and then gradually you get their same perception, the same modes that they're situated under. Is that clear?
So, do we get that in our spiritual life also?
Yeah, of course. That's our whole. That is the process. We're trying to develop a vision beyond our present vision, an intellectual vision at least, Buddha Yoga. So we see, at least within with our intelligence, something that goes beyond our present perception. Then we try for it through the process of devotional service. We give up our tendency to gratifying the senses, especially illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication. Not only we don't perform them, but we try to develop, by utilizing our senses in Krishna service, a higher taste so that we actually perceive things differently. We actually get a higher experience, transcendental pleasure, and therefore our thought that these things will actually make me happy diminishes. And as we actually get higher pleasure through transcendental life, then as our senses, mind, intelligence become purified, then that's actually our faith. We actually see things like that. We actually see how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. We become detached from things that draw the mind away from Krishna. And we have a growing appreciation for everyone as a representative of Krishna in some degree, in some way or another. In other words, purified consciousness means Krishna consciousness. It's not some other consciousness, it's purified consciousness. And as much as our consciousness is contaminated, then we're not in Krishna consciousness. Is that clear? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.